When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
So you're Jets tonight. What are you thinking? What do you want? What do you think they do?
Well, you know what I want.
You want the offensive lineman.
Yeah, I want the offensive lineman, or I would like to trade back.
How take the offensive lineman. Upset, if at all, would you be if the name Brock Bowers came out of the commissioner's mouth?
I wouldn't be upset unless we get into the season and Tyron Smith gets hurt or Morgan Moses gets hurt and the offensive line isn't good.
Well, no. Here's the thing. That's going to happen. There's zero chance that you go through the season and both tackles are unscathed for the entire 17-game schedule. No chance.
Right, so let me ask you this question, okay? As far as the Jets' offense is concerned, because that's what this draft has to be about. Defense is in good shape. Addition of Hassan Reddick. Like, defense is going to be good. Offensively speaking, what about the Jets' offense concerns you the most?
Offensive line.
Right, that's it.
It's not even close.
Do you think there's not enough wide receiver help right now for Aaron Rodgers?
Do I think you could use more? Certainly. I think it's more important to solidify the offensive line.
Are you okay with you know, your running back situation?
Oh, I like the running backs a lot.
Okay, tight end room. Okay?
Fine.
Yeah, Conklin's good. I mean, yeah, between Conklin and Ruggert.
It's probably average. It's fine.
But what about the Jets offense would be what?
The offensive line.
Right. So, I mean, if that's your biggest worry, if worst case scenario, this season doesn't go well, why wouldn't it go well? Because the offensive line just doesn't hold up.
I think so. That would be my big concern. Now, you said before, Aaron Rodgers, what did they not do in Green Bay? What does he want? You might say wide receiver. But Joe Douglas is a what? And grew up as a what?
Offensive lineman.
All right. So I wonder. Right? I mean,
yeah, I wonder too. It's just, I mean, there could be that temptation. I'm looking at some of these newer mock drafts here as we lead up to the actual draft. And Schrager just came out with his second mock draft. If this happens, you know, you just asked me, would I be mad? This could get me a little bit crazy.
Really? I can't imagine that there's much that would get you angry. Like, I got to figure it's Bowers, it's somehow Odunze, or it's one of the offensive linemen. So I'm confused. What would actually get you angry?
Okay, so it's you're correct. He's got them taking Bowers. But here's why I would potentially lose my mind. On the board still in his mock draft is
Joe Alt?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be upsetting.
Yeah, Joe Alt going 11 to Tennessee, and the Jets taking Brock Bowers to 10.
So he has Tennessee moving from 7 back to 11, getting picks, and still getting Joe Alt?
Yeah, and he also has you guys passing up on J.J. McCarthy. So Minnesota trades up to 7 to take J.J. McCarthy, and you guys take Neighbors at 6.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't... Listen, I guess he could fall. Would you be surprised if McCarthy went post-6 and the... Like, if he fell to the Giants and they didn't take him?
I would be surprised. But I'm also surprised that they're being so transparent with what they want.
But are they?
Right.
So you see they're being so transparent with what they want. Or are they seemingly being so transparent with what they want?
Right. Or is this just one of those ones where, yeah, they do want a quarterback, but that quarterback is Drake May, and if they don't get him, they're not gonna trade up to get J.J. McCarthy.
But are they that diabolical that they would spend? Because McCarthy was asked, what team did you spend the most time with? He's like, oh, the Giants. They're that, like, diabolical and brilliant and genius that they're like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend so much time with J.J. McCarthy that everyone's going to think we're going to take him and that we want him, but in actuality, we have no interest in him?
See, I don't know. I mean, you wouldn't think so.
Like, I mean, it feels like a waste of time, doesn't it?
Right. Like, I mean, and then to listen to him talk and say just how easy it was for him to pick up the install because of the, you know, because of the Alabama connection, right? You know, the same offense he had at Michigan, so he knows kind of, he already kind of knows the offense. Like, that's something that would be attractive to me if I was Brian Daboll.
All right, so I want to ask you guys, Cuddle, Marry, Trash, a Thursday edition, right? Normally Tuesday, this week Thursday. What would you, do you think is the Giants' best route, okay? Not what you think they'll do, best route. McCarthy, May, Neighbors, go.
I would say May. I would say May, McCarthy, Neighbors.
All right, so you would put the wide receiver three. RJ, McCarthy, May, Neighbors.
This is what I think they'll do.
No. What you think they should do. What would attract
what
you the
most?
What
would he do? What would you do?
Neighbors, do? May, McCarthy.
Really? So you...
I'm 100% with RJ.
Really?
That's the one. That's what I would do.
That's what you would do, huh?
I don't think it's the right environment. It's the right. I don't think it's the right time.
I told you this yesterday, and I don't
know. When are you getting the quarterback, though?
Well, I don't know if I said it on the air or not, but I told you this yesterday. Like, I feel like Drake May could be, you know, the view on him is he could be Josh Allen or he could be another Daniel Jones. And I don't know. That's a hell of a risk to take.
But Josh Allen wasn't guaranteed to be Josh Allen.
Josh Allen wasn't Josh Allen
yeah,
for a couple of years.
That's the thing. Josh Allen was not Josh Allen, and he took time to get there. But when he got there, it was amazing.
To answer your question, Rick, it does put you into a bit of a corner. But I guess I would say if you guaranteed me that these guys could survive a six-win season.
But they're not going to have to play in a six-win season. No one's saying draft Drake May or J.J. McCarthy.
No, he's saying can the regime, I think, right?
Yes, I'd be very concerned that they'd blow everybody out.
No, you can't.
Not if they draft a quarterback. They wouldn't get blown out.
If you draft a quarterback, you're insulating yourself with
at least 2 more years.
You would think, but what if they?
Yeah, that's the plan.
What if they insert May or McCarthy game? I don't know, 11, and he plays out the rest of the year, and he looks really bad.
You mean like Eli Manning,
like Zach Wilson?
Yeah, but I don't even think you have to run that risk. If the kid's not ready, you just don't play him. I mean, on the other so here's the other side of this is you pass, right? J.J. McCarthy sitting there at six, you pass. You take Malik Neighbors, and now you go through the season. Win five games, Daniel Jones doesn't look good, and Malik Neighbors doesn't really do much because Daniel Jones isn't very good.
Yeah.
And you pass on the quarterback. Now where do we go?
Probably the unemployment line.
Sooner than if the quarterback takes time to develop. There's no way you can draft McCarthy or May, give them 7 games, 8 games, 10 games, doesn't look good. You're like, all right, we're gonna wipe the slate clean.
Gonna draft a quarterback there, you better be sure he's going to be a guy. Like, because... drafting him for job security is not a good enough reason to draft him.
Of course
not. It's not.
Of course not. But you have to believe if you're going to take, you have to have conviction in your picks. Like, if you like him and you want him, you take him.
So then take him. But again, like you said and like I just said, you better be damn sure that's your guy. You're going to ride him till the wheels fall off because your job's on the line.
I don't
do it just to do it.
Yeah, I don't think you could play him. I mean they seem pretty happy with where the offensive line is at. But you're going to break in a new running back in Singletary in a new run game, and you have some new pieces on the O-line, so you got to learn that.
Of course you're going to play him, RJ.
But Darren Waller, yeah, so Darren Waller's probably retiring.
Do we know that?
I'm not sure Darren Waller's retiring.
I don't know that.
Okay, or he's going to come back and he's thinking about retiring. And as Rick says, when you're thinking about retiring, you're already retired. And now you really need some of those receivers you've drafted in the last couple of years to work because you didn't take one at the top of the board. It's just that you're walking into the same situation that Daniel Jones has had a lot of problems with.
Yeah, but how about
right, but
this?
He's not playing this year, though.
Right.
So you're going to get this draft, and then you're going to get another whole other cycle of free agency and another draft before the kid has to play.
But exactly
that's the other thing, because I came into this, you guys have heard me the entire time. I never necessarily was high on any of the quarterbacks. Even Caleb Williams, I've never been like, oh, these are can't-miss quarterbacks. I understand that a lot of them are going to go today in the first round, but... I've not necessarily felt that this is a great quarterback draft. Who's to say that next year's quarterback draft isn't similar? That there's a lot of guys
Mel Kiper is to say. We asked him, and he was like, no, next year's quarterback draft is not in the same stratosphere as this one.
Santi, let me ask you a question. With where football in general, starting with 7-on-7 and everything else, where football is headed, do you think it's going to be easier if they pass up on a quarterback this year? Or say they take the quarterback to find a really good wide receiver or now a franchise quarterback?
You know, he knows the answer to that.
Yeah, that's fairly obvious. I understand. But
think about this. Jones plays 9 games. May slash McCarthy comes in for 8 games. Looks, goes 2-6, looks okay. Like, you're like, and then this offseason you go out and you bring in Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins or draft the receiver. I mean, you do it quickly here.
Well, then you know what? Then trade up, like all the rumors say, because then you're taking the risk sitting at 6 that May's not going to be there at 6. I don't think that's going to happen. So make the trade up. That's your guy. Go get him. And you have the extra year for whatever that buys you, and you believe in that guy, and you ride with it. Don't wait till 6.
If you think you can get him at six, why wouldn't you wait till 6?
Do you think you're going to get him at 6?
It's not for me to determine that. I have no idea. I don't think you'll get May at 6, but if McCarthy's the guy you love, then you might be able to get him at 6.
I think your logic is sound, and I agree with it. If you guaranteed me those things would happen, even if whoever the quarterback is, if it's May, if it's McCarthy comes in, goes 2-6, looks fine, looks good enough, and you could sell me the hope on, okay, with a piece here, a piece there, another weapon, another year in the system, great. I just worry if it doesn't play out that way. If he walks into an environment where he plays 7 games, whoever this quarterback is, looks really bad, over his head, and we have to spend the whole offseason or going into the offseason thinking, you know what, maybe Dable's not that guy. Whether or not you think about it, it's true or not, maybe Shane, I mean, God forbid you traded up to do this as well.
After you already paid Daniel Jones?
I hate to sound like a broken record, but you better have conviction. Remember Ernie Accorsi? He had all the conviction in the world. Eli Manning was going to be the guy. You're going to take this guy. You better have the same conviction.
We know what you need. We've talked about it a million times.
Of course.
If he's not good, you're done.
Right. Here's the thing, though. To what Ray was saying, he doesn't feel like there's any you can't miss. Okay, so usually what happens when you have this guy's a can't miss is it doesn't matter what situation you put him in. The kid is just that good. He'll figure it out. So we can deal with bad coaching, poorly run organization, like Joe Burrow and what he did for Cincinnati. Okay, that's not who the Giants are. That's not what their situation is, though. So if you have a kid like if it's J.J. McCarthy and you feel like under these current circumstances where he's not going to be forced to play right away, we have Daniel Jones. Right, we have Brian Daboll. He already kind of knows our system anyway. I mean, there's more of a likelihood that it's going to work as opposed to you just take a kid, like a really bad team takes a kid and says, hey, here you go, kid. Save us. That's not where the Giants are at.
And he doesn't need to look great. He needs to look
he doesn't
okay.
have to, but he doesn't even have to play.
I think expectation at some point is going to be his
Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes played 1 game.
Yeah, but that's the rarity.
It doesn't matter, but he doesn't have Jordan Love didn't play for years. He doesn't have to play.
He doesn't have to. They'll be a clamoring for him to play, especially if they're not good.
Yeah, but okay, does that matter? Should that matter? Who cares? If you don't think he's ready, don't play him.
You're right. He doesn't.
The unknown's better than watching him struggle.
Yeah, but you know what? If you can get him in there, get him some reps, and he's not awful, and you can see that the future is somewhat bright with him, then that's a route also. Yeah, listen, I trust Brian Daboll. I trust Joe Shane. I believe in what they're going to do. He's been on hold for a long time, and he tried yesterday. We couldn't get him in. Lonnie Harlem. Good morning, Lonnie.
Good morning, family. How are we? Shout out to the company. Just wanted to call in because I'm in a bit of a pickle today. Mm-hmm. Obviously, today is the Knicks game. We got the Islanders game, and we got the draft. And tonight, I'll be going to a concert. So I kind of like, when I bought the ticket a while ago, I knew, the Islanders was, hopefully going to make the playoffs. And the Knicks was going to make the playoffs, but I didn't know, what days they would land on. When I bought the ticket, I knew it was going to land on the night of the draft, obviously. But
sell them on the secondary market?
Like,
sell them?
No. I'm going to the concert, Dave. But I need to, I need a game plan because I don't want to check my phone while I'm in there. And, the Knicks could be down, 5, and that could change my mood. Or, during the draft, the Giants could, whatever. And then I'm just sitting there, stuck or dumbfounded. So, I don't know what I should do. Should I be, checking my phone? Should I just wait till, after the concert? This is why I called yesterday because I kind of wanted the game plan already going into today.
Yeah. I'm being sincere when I say this, and you're going to say no. You can't go to the concert. There are bigger things on the docket tonight than this concert.
That's true, Dave, especially the Knicks game 3 and the Islanders game 3. Rick, I mean, my goodness, that collapse. Oh, my God. 3 goals in about 88 seconds. I didn't know how to control myself. But listen, Dave, I have to go to the concert.
Why? Why do you have to go?
This is, this is what you do when you so when you have a lot of love or whatever. Like, just like I got a lot of love for you guys. I make sure I'm always at.
I got a lot of love for a lot of things. I'm not missing the draft of the Knicks tonight.
And this is why I'm in such a pickle. It's like, oh my God, like I want to be here to watch the game, watch the draft, watch the Islanders, but I also want to make sure I go to this concert.
Right, so, but it's a self-inflicted pickle.
I was going to say that phrase. You did this to yourself, Lonnie.
But Dave, when I bought the ticket,
you knew the draft was that night, and you knew there was a good chance that the Islanders, Rangers, or Knicks were going to be playing tonight. You knew that.
Yeah, you're right. But like I said, I know I'm going to the concert. It's just I need a game plan going in. So do you think I should be checking my phone or do you think I should just ease back? And, you know, like you said, the Knicks are up 2, which doesn't mean anything. But like, you know,
I don't know. I thanks for the call. There's no way that I could ever go through a concert and not know what was happening with all the stuff.
Well, I don't understand. Like what's the game plan? If you want to go to the concert and you don't want to have the Knicks game or the Islander game affect your mood, so you have to tape it. That's it.
Right.
There's no other option. You haven't given yourself any other option.
It's really very poorly thought out by him.
Right.
And very poorly strategized, and that plan is awful. Why would you ever go to a concert tonight?
Because I think he thought the only thing that he would be jeopardizing is the draft.
But you knew there was a chance that other things were going to get in the way.
Yeah, right. I think you have to pivot, though, man. I mean, you got to decide what I love more, either the concert. You know,
if he said, I have a wedding I have to go to tonight, I think it's different. An anniversary tonight, I think it's different. You created this drama.
That's a self-inflicted pickle.
Yeah, self-inflicted pickle.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Choo-choo.
Oh, Santiago, you are good. DNR 98.7 ESPN. Little draft preview time. What will the Giants do? Jets at about 12 minutes from right now. We bring in the conductor, Jordan Renan. Hi, Jordan.
Hey, Dave. What's going on? Is that me or was that a volume on the choo-choo of normally ladders? It's just on the audio for me.
Sounded really good to me. I don't know.
Ah, okay. I do have a gripe for you, Dave. My buddy, I was out to dinner last night, Gary.
Uh-huh.
Told me I got to bring it up. He thinks it's a big mistake and embarrassing that you're going to keep the NFL draft on the main TV. Like, it's got to be a Knicks. It's a Knicks playoff game. And you just flip it on when it's a Giants pick.
No. I told you what we're doing. And if Gary would open his ears and clean them out a little bit, I said main TV Knicks, but on mute. So the big TV will be Knicks. Side TV with the audio will be the draft.
Oh, well, I misunderstood. I guess he misunderstood. Okay. That makes sense, Nick.
That's fine. I want to hear what's going on in the draft, and I've watched 1,000 games in my life where I haven't had the audio on.
Fair enough.
All right.
But, I mean, you only need the Giants picked up.
I want them all.
You know?
I want it all. Yeah. I don't want it. This idea that I'm only interested in the Giants is such nonsense. I'm not John Winthrop, where I just care about my team in between the 20-yard lines. I want to know everything going on at every moment.
That's fair, but I understand the volume part, and I love our guys at ESPN and ABC. They do the best. They do an amazing job. You don't need to hear the filibustering in between picks when you got a Knicks playoff game.
I like the filibustering. I like it. All right, let's get to the Giants. Say hi to Rick, by the way.
Hey, Rick, can you speak today? Because I heard you earlier in the week. Oof, it was a struggle.
Nice, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that. Coming from the guy who had a nervous breakdown live on TV.
Oh, dear.
Hey, I'm not. That's not like a negative. It's not like you did anything negative. I'm just saying you were powering through a bad, a sickness, a sore throat or something.
Right. I thought I was watching a live report from Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, dear. All right. I'm sorry. You guys don't like each other, and I have to be the mediator here. Jordan.
Beat it.
Always got to cross the line. You always got to cross the line.
Jordan, walk me through most likely scenario in your mind. Drake May, which I would imagine would be moving up. J.J. McCarthy, which may be moving up, or maybe you're able to grab him at 6, or Malik Nabers. What's the most likely to least likely?
I think the most likely is still probably Nabers. That's why I landed on that as my most likely pick. But I do believe the Giants are going to be, and the only reason I say that, because I do believe the Giants are going to be very aggressive about trading up for a quarterback. But the problem here, and that's why it was hard for me. Like, I wanted in the worst way to land on Drake May. There's a possibility, probably a better than 50% possibility, that they don't have any shot at that, right? That's not in their hands. If the New England Patriots decide we want to take Drake May, Drake May is on the New England Patriots, assuming that Jaden Daniels goes number 2, right? So that's out of the Giants that they could offer whatever they want. And it's possible the New England Patriots would say, nope, we don't. No, there's basically nothing you can offer. So it has to be 4 first-round picks. At that point, you're the Giants, so that's too much, right? We can't do that. So, and then you get in the scenario, okay, what do they think of J.J. McCarthy? Are they potentially willing to trade up for him? Because I still do think that the Minnesota Vikings are most likely to come in at 4 or 5 for J.J. McCarthy. And if the Giants do get J.J. McCarthy, it would involve a move up. So that's why I still think that's probably less likely than landing with a wide receiver at 6, sitting there and getting Malik Nabers.
Jordan, how much do you read into what J.J. McCarthy said to Rich Eisen about how much he met with the Giants?
Definitely caught my attention, for sure. I think I'm more likely to think that he could be the plan if they don't get Drake May now than I was before. So, yeah, I give it credence. And look, I've heard from the start, and I've said it numerous times, I think the Giants' interest in J.J. McCarthy is real. To what degree, we still don't know, but that sort of, picked it up a notch, right? I don't know, did you guys come away with the same impression?
We did, but we're also thinking to ourselves, maybe this is a whole game by Joe Shane where he's planting seeds and he really wants Malik Nabers in the end.
I think that's too diabolical. I really don't think guys go about it that way. I just think the flow of information is so crazy that these guys don't really have to do anything. And there's enough people out there that are going to land on, every guy and, just follow the groupthink eventually. And so I really don't think general managers go that in-depth to come up with smokescreen plans. Could be wrong, but I've never heard of it, to be honest with you.
Well, it just seems – listen, if this was Dave Gettleman – right? This would make perfect sense because he's not, I mean, he's going to tell you what he's going to do and it doesn't matter. It's just with Joe Shane, I go back to how he handled the whole Kayvon Thibodeau situation. Like, I mean, weren't we hearing negative things about Kayvon Thibodeau and then all of a sudden come draft day, they take him 5th overall and they love him.
Yeah, it definitely flipped. And that's you get that sense a little with JJ too, because everybody kind of jumped off the JJ bandwagon in the last few weeks. And now here we are. I could definitely see that, coming back around for sure. But at the same time, honestly, Joe Shane's sitting there and he's thinking, there's still so many different scenarios of how this could play out. right? I don't think he's sitting there right now and he knows who they're drafting, because I do believe he's going to try hard to trade up. But you need a willing partner, and we don't know if that New England Patriots are a real willing partner. We don't know. We think the Arizona Cardinals are a willing partner with the Giants, because moving to 6 is way more enticing than moving to 11 for the Minnesota Vikings. But we don't know who's there at pick 4. So there's so many variables that's what makes this one tough, even though they're picking 6.
You talk about the Giants moving up, and Jordan Renan with us here, 98.7 ESPN Giants beat reporter, does a great job. Any chance that if what they want is not sitting in front of them at 6 and they think it could be there at, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10, you could see them moving back, or there's no way they move out of that 6 spot and move back?
No, I think there's a way. If, the board falls a certain way, maybe the quarterback they don't like, or aren't, in love with is sitting there. This is a team that has 6 picks, Dave. That is, I think, the second or third fewest out of any team in this draft. And if they're not drafting a quarterback, we know that you need to find a path to get a quarterback eventually. So picking up more draft capital is important for this team and this organization. And I think Joe Shane knows that. That's why I believe he's going to be super aggressive to get a quarterback here. And if not, he's also going to be in the back of his mind planning, okay, how am I going to get a quarterback in the future? And that involves more draft capital. And even late in this draft, you hear a lot of, like, this isn't a great draft, deep in the draft. Like, a lot of teams, rounds 5 to 7, are going to be looking to get rid of picks for future, 2025 picks, because next year is supposed to be a deeper draft.
So, Jordan, what happens if they don't end up with J.J. McCarthy, or just don't like J.J. McCarthy enough to trade up, and Minnesota jumps ahead of them and takes J.J. McCarthy? I read a report, and Graziano says they like Michael Penix. Like, if they don't get one of those top 4 guys, and how... And some of these mock drafts go the way that it feels like they're going now, where there's such a demand for quarterbacks for Vegas, for Denver, that a Penix goes and a Bo Nix goes. How, do the Giants end up even taking a quarterback in this draft?
I think that's one of the scenarios that we just talked about there. If Dave says, if they trade back. Like, if they trade back, it could be with an eye on somebody like Michael Penix at 8, 9, 10, somewhere around there, right before that next crew of Minnesota, Denver, Las Vegas. So I think that is definitely one of the scenarios. But, hey, Michael Penix is a little bit of a risk, right? Especially, I have a hard time seeing Michael Penix be the guy, considering the Giants' biggest concern with Daniel Jones is the injuries, right? You're going to replace the guy who your biggest concern is with injuries with a guy whose biggest concern is injuries? That one makes it tough for me. But I guess if they're looking for a way to get a quarterback and they move back and they navigate the board, it's a scenario. I think that's where that kind of popped up.
All right, Jordan, listen, we got to run because we have Rich Cimini to dissect the Jets in just a moment. But keep doing the great job you're doing. We'll be watching you and listening to you and checking you out on Twitter tonight. And can you do me a favor, please? When I send you a text, can you respond within a normal amount of time? You're very bad at returning text messages.
Oh, I mean, I'm hit or miss. I wouldn't say very bad. But, Dave, I'm working, too. I have a job, right?
Well, I understand that. But it's not like I'm looking for paragraphs in return. Just a quick update of what I'm asking.
I can't be at your beck. I will do my best for you. Just because you're my guy, I will do my best for you. Who do you want, real quick? Give me. I want to hear, what's your optimal scenario?
My optimal scenario is that I stay at 6 and get Drake May. Realistic is that I move up and get Drake May.
That's not realistic, though.
What do you mean?
It doesn't feel like it's realistic. I mean, you don't control that.
Move up and get Drake May?
It sounds like the Patriots are going to take Drake May at 3.
Jordan, is that completely unrealistic?
That's not crazy. I mean, sitting there getting Drake May at 6, I think is, we're talking like 2%, whereas we might be at like 45% for being able to trade up and get Drake May. There's a price for everything, right? There's a price. If you offer enough, a first, a second, a first round pick next year, that's a good starting point. That's a lot.
A better hit, I'll tell you that. All right, Jordan, we got to run. Thanks. we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good day, guys. All enjoy. Right.
Thank you. Enjoy it as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Rich Cimini will join us next on 98.7 ESPN.
This NBA playoffs, FanDuel is giving all customers two chances to bring home a big win with a no-sweat same-game parlay every weekend of the playoffs. Just place a same-game parlay on any playoff matchup, and you'll get bonus bets back if you don't win. Bet on everything from rebounds to assists to three-pointers and so much more. Visit FanDuel.com/Rick and shoot your shot on America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 and older and physically present in New York. Minimum three-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Pickleball showdown between us and Anita Marks along with Armani Toomer. A little over a week away. It's Sunday, May the 5th at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. Pre-game coverage starts on ESPN New York at 9 o'clock that morning with a live broadcast hosted by Anita. Then shortly after the show, the paddles come out for the Pickleball Showdown for the ages. Be there May 5th to witness this showcase event at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. I saved this read for this exact timing, Rick, because I've heard that Rich Cimini is of the mindset that we have very little of any chance to win this match. Rich, is that accurate?
Did I say that? Is that a direct quote?
I think you said you were asked who's going to win, and you're like, "Oh, Anita and Imani."
Yeah, I think I said something like I would take them on the money line.
Right.
Yes, that would be an accurate quote. I'll stand by it. But I wish you guys the best. Have you guys played yet?
Have we played together yet?
No, for the competition.
No, it's May. Didn't you just hear the read? For God's sakes,
don't. How dare you?
No, I've been. I'm watching it. I'm in the war room. I'm watching video to football tape, so I wasn't paying attention to the commercial.
Yeah, it's.
Well, don't speak to Rich like that.
I'll speak to Rich. I've known Rich a long time. I'll speak to Rich however I want to speak to Rich. It's May 5th. Would you like to make the trek to Stamford, Connecticut, and watch the match?
It's not going to be streamed anywhere where I could stay at home and watch it.
It might be
a little bit of a hike for me.
It might be.
Well, okay. Well, I'll check my schedule. It's after the draft, so the schedule is a lot more open.
It sure is. All right, so let's get to it, Rich. What do you think? We've debated with this. I think our mindset is it makes the most sense for the Jets to take the offensive lineman, but forget about what you think they should do. What do you think they do, in fact, go ahead with?
Well, I agree with you, first of all, but in terms of what I think they will do, I think there's three scenarios, okay? Because I do think there's a small chance they could trade up. If they trade up, it's for a receiver. If they stay at 10, it's for Bowers. If they move down, it's for an offensive lineman. So I think that's probably an oversimplification, but I think that's kind of the way it's looking now. I think there's a chance they could go up or down, really. I think anywhere from 8 to 17 is the Jets' like sweet spot in this draft. And I agree with you guys. I think this team needs an offensive tackle more than a tight end. But I do know for a fact the Jets really, really like Brock Bowers, and they could conceivably take him at 10.
Now, Rich, if it is the offensive lineman, I know I've heard Fuaga. Is there one that you think is the guy that they would target if it ends up being an offensive lineman?
You know, I've been on the Fuaga train since the Senior Bowl. You know, I had heard around the Senior Bowl that Joe Douglas is really high on Fuaga. You know, Joe has from according to one of my sources, has been talking up Fuaga for like before football season even started. So he's been on his radar for a while. There's so many good tackles in this draft. I don't think they'll get Joe Walt. I think he'll be gone by 10. But then I think J.C. Latham could be a factor for the Jets, although I do think there's a good chance he could go in the top 9, possibly 5, to the Chargers. So the Jets, if they stay at 10 and take a tackle, they're probably going to get the third best tackle in the draft. It could be Fuaga. It could be no one seems to be mentioning Olu Fashanu anymore from Penn State, but he's in the mix as well. So I think the best case for the Jets would be to move down a few spots, draft a lineman like a Fuaga, and then pick up an extra pick along the way. I do think that's a possibility as well.
See, I think that's smart, too. And Rich Cimini with us here, Jets reporter, 98.7 ESPN. I think it's smart as well. But then on the flip side, you say they can move up. And Mel Kiper was with us yesterday and said, you know, they can move up to 8 and draft Adunze if he happens to be there and jump the Bears on that one. Does it make sense for a team that already doesn't have a second-round pick to mortgage more of the future and take an Adunze? Or does it not?
Yeah, you can make that argument, but I think, and I don't think a trade up from 10 to 8 would leave a gaping hole in their draft. I think they probably have to give up one of their fours and maybe swap places in the third or maybe give up a 3 next year. I don't think it would be crippling to their draft only to go up 2 spots. That's why I do think, in fact, I think my mock draft 2.0, which, you know, was like a week ago, I had that happening, them going up to 8 and getting Adunze. Adunze would be great for the Jets. He's, you know, some people think he might even be the best receiver in the draft. I think the consensus is Harrison, but the Jets would love to pair him with Garrett Wilson. Likewise, Malik Nabers. I don't think this is going to happen, but if Nabers got to 8, that would be, I think, on the Jet radar. So I think they could make that move without killing their draft, and he's a guy they really like.
So, Rich, what happens if they don't draft an offensive lineman here? If they decide, hey, we want to go up to 8 and we want to take Adunze, Tyron Smith is, I mean, I know he's got this new plan in Dallas, but he still misses games. Morgan Moses coming back from the PEC. I mean, they're both older players. Are there going to be, you know, other moves made? Is Bakhtiari going to be signed? Like, what else do they do with the offensive line if they don't draft something here?
Uh-oh.
Speechless.
Did we lost Rich, I guess?
That's because you treated him poorly.
Well, he deserved it.
No, he didn't.
I did the read as he was joining us.
He's breaking down tape. He's in the war room right now.
Well, you know, when he's on hold with us, it's now his time to be paying attention to us.
Rich is the third person that I've heard put Latham with the Chargers.
Up to 5. We have Rich back, so continue your question. I don't know what he heard of that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard Rick's question about possibly signing a veteran lineman after the draft, and yep. I do think that would be something that would happen because Joe Douglas is not going to go into this season with the current offensive line. I mean, wouldn't that be the definition of insanity? I mean, doing the same thing again, expecting a different result. I think they would go out and get a veteran swing tackle. You mentioned Bakhtiari. Of course, he'd be a candidate. Someone like a Donovan Smith, who, you know, started last year for Kansas City, you know, could come in and be that swing tackle. I do think they would address it with a veteran.
I'm good. I mean, you've given us the 8 to 17 range. You've talked about...
I have one more.
All right, well, I was going to say I'm done, but Rick might have one more.
Okay, so I might have more than one more. Rich, other needs you think the Jets address, and also at some point during this draft, do you think they do take a quarterback?
I do, Rick. I think day 3 is prime territory for a quarterback. I think the two guys to watch out for are, Michael Pratt from Tulane and Jordan Travis from Florida State. They've done a lot of work on those guys. They've had them both in for top 30 visits. You're probably looking, you know, Pratt's probably... you know, could be anywhere from like 4, you know, around 4 or 5, somewhere in there. Travis, maybe a little bit later, maybe 5, 6. But yes, I mean, they obviously have a gaping hole on the depth chart right now that Zach Wilson is finally gone. And, you know, they do want to, like Joe Douglas said it last week when we asked him about this, he said he wants to create a quarterback factory. I don't know if anyone would put the words quarterback factory and Jets in the same sentence right now. But he harkened back to the 1990s Green Bay Packers when, of course, they had Brett Favre, but Ron Wolf was really smart. He kept drafting quarterbacks in the late rounds like Mark Brunell and Aaron Brooks. And they flip those guys for draft picks eventually. I think that's what the Jets would like to become. However, in a year or two, they may need a quarterback themselves, so they might be drafting for the future as well. So long answer, a short, yes, I do think there's a good chance they draft a quarterback.
Well, what a wild thing to say, huh? I mean, they just swung and missed so terribly the last couple of quarterbacks, and he wants this to become a quarterback factory.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of jumped out at me a little bit. You know, what's the opposite of a factory? I don't know. The Jets have had, you know,
like
not
a mom and pop
Wilson
shop,
like a crematorium.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Darnold, same thing, 3 years and out. I mean, that's not Joe Douglas' fault. That was the previous administration. But obviously, Zach Wilson will go down as one of the worst draft picks the Jets have ever made. So, yeah, that was but they're going to keep swinging. And I guess you got to keep swinging, right? You know, maybe the law
of
averages.
Put a factory together, you got to keep swinging, yes.
Yeah, tilts in their direction eventually. We'll see.
Rich, do great. We appreciate you as always, and I'm sure we'll talk to you very soon.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you. That's the great Rich Cimini, who just needs to listen a little better. Otherwise, he's almost flawless.
That's like a quarterback landfill. A factory.
Factory. What a wild word to use.
Where do you guys make your quarterbacks? You walk in and it's like the hamster on the wheel.
Yeah.
Running.
Like the last thing I would ever think of with the Jets is that they're a quarterback factory.
It's like the Toy Story. It's got like that toy with like the different arm and the
right.
The hairs
just put it together. Right? Whatever you can get, just put it together and see if that can throw the football downfield. It's like the Frankenstein quarterback.
We're the polar opposite of a quarterback
right?
factory.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got to get to the Knicks and kind of get the feel of what everyone thinks about this very big game 3 tonight. And we have our mock draft at 9:30. Lot to do. 1-800-919-3776. You know what? Those chimes are just terrible on 98.7 ESPN. Picture this in your mind's eye. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting completely lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so bad you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations, they happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.